If you will tonight, turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 is where we'll find our text tonight. And as I mentioned, Lord willing, next week we will pick up with the last statement that Christ made from the cross. As the Lord has laid this on my heart to share with you tonight, and that's verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let us pray. Now, Lord, as we gather tonight, as now we've shared this, the news of our brother passing, and to be with you, Lord, we do rejoice and give thee great thanks and praise thy name that he is in thy presence this morning, this evening. Lord, I pray that you would comfort his wife, and comfort his daughter, and comfort the congregation there in Iowa. That you would be pleased to reveal this very truth, Lord, that he is with you in glory. He is where we all want to be, where we all desire to be, Lord. May you lift our spirits that way. Lord, as I endeavor tonight to look into thy word, I pray that you would go before me, reveal to this small group tonight, Lord, that thy sovereignty in this passage, and Lord, teach us to see through the eyes of faith. Give us the faith to see that way, that we may, Lord, cling to thee and cling to thy finished work and what you are to thy church. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, when I talk to you tonight, there's times I know my fallen nature always questions God's sovereignty. And it questions my understanding of things. And it asks why. And when that's what the Lord showed me tonight in this passage. My thoughts are not your thoughts. It's perspective. What we see on earth is not how the Lord sees from heaven. He brought his child to glory. What are we sad for? We look at circumstances. This is what we do in our lives every day. And we judge things based on how we see them. We put them in categories. This one we put in a horrific category. But should we? As the Lord was pleased to take his servant home, to be with him in glory, his ways are not our ways. This is our problem. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't enter into how he sees things unless he blesses us with the faith to see. You'll see that tonight in this passage. God's plan does not always line up with my plan. And I need faith to grab hold of Christ in his finished work. To say, Lord, be it so with thee. It is well with my soul because of what you've done. When he does not act in a way that we think that he ought to act or whatever, we turn to self-pity. We turn to anger. We turn to doubts. That's that fallen nature. And I pray the Lord spares his flock there in Iowa from that tonight. And sustains them in his grace. Sustains them in his love. And he shows them his great love for the pastor that they had. I want you to start with me tonight as we look at this chapter, and I'm going to briefly, I want to show you what the Lord's intention is in this chapter. The two texts I read tonight is to show us something. That the way of the Lord is not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts unless He gives us the mind of Christ. That's the only way. And we question everything. In fact, if you look how Isaiah 55 starts tonight, it starts with grace. And it makes no sense to us. These are His thoughts, and this is His way of grace. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." And the only way you and I thirst is if the Lord gives us a thirst for His righteousness. A thirst for Him, a desire that our heart would pant after Him. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that has no money." See, that doesn't make sense to us. Because in our fallen nature and who we are, we want to do something. We want to do something to help people, especially those that are suffering even more than we are tonight. And we want to take control of the situation. Because that's our thoughts. And that's our ways. And the Lord says, "I want you to, you that has no money, you've been emptied. You are bankrupt now of anything. You have nothing to hold on to. You have nothing to buy with. You have no merit in yourself." That's the sovereignty of grace. That's the love of grace that He reveals to us. His thoughts of grace, His way of grace is this, that He empties the child of God and makes us dependent upon Him. And sometimes the extremes are very extreme. And He causes the child of God to cling to Him. To run to Him. Our strong tower. The rock that's higher than us that can't be moved. But we only do that when we're emptied. Self has to be put down. That's what He says. "You that have no money, come buy and eat." Lord, how do I buy with no money? He says, "You come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And I've told you many times that buying here means suing and asking. That's what the Lord says to us. Come. The fountain is opened. We're constrained by His love. His never-ending love. A fountain of love. A fountain of faith, a fountain of grace, a fountain of mercy, a fountain of forgiveness. We have no merit. We have no works to claim. We have nothing to say, Lord, look at what I've done. Hold your finger here because we're going to go to a couple places, but we'll definitely be back. We'll go to that familiar place in Ephesians 2 that tells us something about grace and faith. The grace that God gives, not what man calls grace, where He adds something to grace, whether it be the law or His obedience or His works, whatever He adds to grace. James tells us that makes, or Paul tells us that means it's not grace. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And then he makes the point, and it's not of yourselves. It's not you. That's what he said over in our text. Buy, eat, you that have no money. It's all of grace. It's all a gift. That's what he tells us. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And then he tells us why. Because this is who we are. It's not of works, lest any man should boast of himself. Lord, I did this to you. Isn't that what we hear in Matthew 7? Lord, I did this in your name. I preached in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I healed the sick in your name. Very powerful things. And yet the Lord says to them, I never knew you. But He knows His children saved by grace. He knows the ones that are suing at His mighty hand and saying, Lord, give me you or else I die. That's the gospel of sovereign grace. That the Lord empties us of self and causes us and gives us the desire to cry out to Him and to love Him and to lay hold of Him because He loved us first. For we are His workmanship. We're His. We're His creation. Created in Christ Jesus. That's where all of it happens. It's in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's ordained them in eternity. We just walk in them. And we can't even do that without His power. That's how dependent we are. So when He tells us in our text, come everyone that has no money, come you buy and eat, you come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's a free gift. That's His way of grace. That's what He's telling us in 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. We wouldn't do it by grace. We want the ones who love us to show us their works toward us. To prove their love for us. That's how we judge them. Even the one that we love the most. See, we wouldn't do it that way. That's what he means. My ways are higher than your ways. The grace that's in Christ Jesus, it's not known to you. And you've never heard it, you've never seen it, and it's never entered into your heart, the things that Christ has done for you. Not unless He's put it there. Not unless God has given you the new birth to see Him. So I want you to see this running theme through this chapter. Because you know what our text is. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Then he tells us, there's something very key in that verse 9. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth. That's a long way, dear ones. We're not getting there. We can't get there. There's a huge gap between heavens and earth. That's how huge the gap is between His ways and our ways. I hate that terminology that you hear men use, the man upstairs. You've heard it when they refer to God. I want you to think and examine that. The man upstairs. You know why he's upstairs? Because he's only one level higher than they are. That's why. You don't understand grace. And you don't understand Christ and His mind being so much higher than ours. And the purity and holiness of God being so much higher than we are. Look at verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do we want works to merit grace? That's what he said. Why is it you want to spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you want the things that you do to count? Why do you want it dependent on you? That's a question for all of us tonight. You know why? Because our ways are not His ways. And then He says this, and your labor for that which is satisfies not. Why do we do that? It shows you the contrast of our fallen nature and our new nature that's in Christ Jesus. Because the new nature cleaves to Christ. It is Christ. It's holy and it's without sin. And it loves the Lord Jesus and it loves the Father and it loves the Holy Ghost more than anything. But that fallen nature, it's the polar opposite. He then tells us, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Feed on Christ. Because we know there's nothing good in us. That's what the Scriptures say. No, not one. There's not one good. But there's the goodness of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's His mercy we talked about. That's the goodness and His grace and glory that we talked about on Sunday. Feed on His finished work. But look at the end of it. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. That fatness is the word to Christ, the abundance of grace that's in Christ. Your soul should be delighting in that. That's His ways. Those aren't our ways. In Psalm 37:4, David wrote, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And those desires of that heart that He's talking about is the new nature. And the desires of that new nature is Christ. When we delight in the Lord, it's circular. The delight comes from Him, and the glory goes right back to Him. We delight in Him. When He gives us delight in the goodness and truth that's in God, that's in Christ Jesus, it doesn't go to man or self or the things of the world. The praise and love and delight goes back to Him. It redounds to His glory. In Psalm 119:35, He says, make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I delight in Thy Word, Lord. Do we? Because these are His ways. This is what He's done. These are My ways that are higher than our ways. That's where our examination is tonight. Do I have a warring nature in me? Natures? Do I have something in me that's fighting against what I'm hearing Christ is? The delight that's in Christ? Because that's what He's telling us in our text tonight. That's what grace does. That's what He's telling us. This is My grace. This is the way I do it. This is the way I provide. This is the way. And you're going to delight in Me? This is what Song of Solomon 2:3 says. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is My beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow of with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. His fruit, the fruit of Christ, is sweet to our taste. These are His ways and His thoughts that are higher than our. You see why it's incapable for us to bring our ways and our thoughts up. That gulf between earth and heaven is too big. A man can ascend himself to believe anything. That's a false faith. But he can't get here. He can't get here to the grace and the plan of salvation and God's perfect plan for all of His children. All of them. And as I said, as I'll go through the times of questioning the Lord's sovereignty and questioning how or why this would take place, the Lord shows me, because of His goodness and grace, the Lord doesn't see like we see. He said, this is the appointed hour to bring my Son, my child of God, back to me, to bring Him to glory. Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. That goes against our nature again, doesn't it? Hear and we'll live. How does that work? We don't want to hear anything. We want to do. We want to find our own way. We want to gather knowledge. No, the Lord says, hear. Hear. Hear what? His voice. That's His way. Is to reveal His truth to His sheep. They hear His voice. The true faith comes from His mouth to our heart, to our ears. Hold your finger. Last place we'll go tonight before we camp here in 55 is John 10. I want you to go to John 10 with me. You know John 10 is the shepherd chapter. Jesus is my great shepherd. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to follow me as I call out the verses that I'm reading. Look at verse 3. To him the porter openeth. That's the Holy Spirit. And the sheep hear his voice. That's how we hear his voice. The Holy Spirit reveals him. And I'm not talking about an audible voice. That if we had our way, that's what we'd hear. Well, I'd know better if you told me, Lord, exactly what you want. Well, He does. He does in His Word, and He does reveal it by His Spirit. And that's what He's telling us in 3. And He calleth His own sheep by name, and He leadeth them out. He calls them by their name. They hear Him. And they come and they call. As He calls them, they come to Him. They ain't coming any other way. Look at verse 5. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers, because they know His voice. Look at 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Look at 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's the union. That's showing you right there. We shall hear him. That's what our text over there said. They will hear me and live. We live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave his life for us. That's contrary to the old nature, to live upon self. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's what we need in these times, and we need them every day of our life, to know His thoughts. How does He look at it? How does He look at what's unfolding in front of us in providence? How does He view it? What pleases Him? Look at verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's our security. They hear my voice, and they live. And our security is in hearing and knowing and loving and following Him. That's what it says right here. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And He must draw us. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And He was lifted up above the earth. And He was exalted when He said, it is finished. And all those things we've been talking about every week that He uttered perfectly out of His mouth to fulfill all scriptures. To show us what He did in the finished work of atonement on the cross.
I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It's finished. Everything we have is finished. We must hear Him. Look at 4 and 5 now. Behold, I've given Him, that's Christ, for a witness to the people. He's our witness. Not what the world's telling you. Not what the news is telling you. Not what yourself is telling you. He's been given, He's a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and the nations that thou knew not, that knew not thee shall run unto thee. We were wandering sheep, and He's called every one of us from the past life that we had. If we're in Christ, we look back to what we had and we're dead to it. Because He's given us life in Him. That's a mark of a child of God. He's dead to what He's been delivered from. And He lives unto Christ. That's what He's telling us. That knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For He has glorified thee. He's done it all. It's all in Him. My ways. That's what we're going to get to. What is the way? Christ is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. What are thoughts? How can we have the purity of thoughts this way? How can we reach the thoughts to the heaven? We must have the mind of Christ. There's no other mind. There's no other intellect. There's not a seminary. There's not a man to sit at His feet. There's not somebody behind a petition. It's Christ. He's the answer. When these times come, and they come, because this isn't heaven. When we're shaken, the Lord brings us to Him, but He empties us. Because we can't see things the way we see them. We're too disturbed by it. We've been too polluted by this world and everything it tells us. And it colors who we are. And we're washed in the labor that's the Lord's blood. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. What is seeking? It's the action of faith. This is once again, my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. Faith is a gift. And when I give you that faith, my dear children in church, you'll seek Him. You'll seek Him above all other things. And all other people. That's what He said. Seek me. Seek you the Lord while He may be found. And He's faithful to be found. I love that. I love that title of Him. He is faithful because He's full of faith. And He gives us of that faith to be sought of by the faithful one. And to seek the faithful one. To seek His face. David in Psalm 119:2 said, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That's that whole new nature that's only new by the new birth. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that new creature seeks Him. It seeks Him at His feet. Give me Christ or else I die. Give me Christ above all other things. And people. Hebrews 11:6, He says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is the Anointed One. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is God.
He must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we do diligently seek Him by Him and through Him and to Him. Because He's who we have our being in. And He's the reason we can be comforted in these times. He's the reason we can look into heavens and say, Lord, Thy will be done. Praise Thy name for bringing our brother home. Glory to God on the highest. Because there is peace in my soul. Because You are faithful to Your church. You are most importantly faithful to Your finished work and to Yourself. But You are faithful to Thy people. Look at verse 7. Another one that would not be our way. You know what that is? Forgiveness. Oh, it's so hard for us to forgive. Because forgiving is forgetting. There's only one pure forgiveness. And that comes out of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a gift. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. That's forgiveness. That's us. We have wicked ways. We have unrighteous thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. And if you're trying to justify your ways and make an argument for your ways, you're lost and you don't know Him. Repentance is His gift. It's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance. It's a gift of mercy to bring us back to the fold, to bring the wandering sheep back to Him. There is forgiveness. That's His way. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Not guilty. He is the just and justifier of all of His people. He will show you there's no condemnation in Him. He will pronounce you not guilty, as He already has to the Father. He does not condemn. As we condemn each other and condemn ourselves, He doesn't. He abundantly pardons. And anoints us with that fresh washing of His blood. Reveals that He's covered all of our sins. They've all been taken away. The past, the present, and the future sins. And now you got it. You understand a little better where He's coming in 8 and 9. Because He just talked about all that the Lord is in grace. All that it is in faith to seek Him. This is His way. And then you get a little better when you see what forgiveness is. And then when it comes to 8, He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I have to say, amen, Lord. You're right. They're not. And neither are my ways. My ways, it's His ways, my ways. They're not. They're not. That's why I struggle. That's why I have unbelief. I need Him. That's what He's telling His church here. Come to me. In me is everything that you need. In me is grace. In me is faith. In me is forgiveness. In me is the atonement. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and oh boy, isn't it higher. It's not one level higher like that man upstairs. Oh no. Our Lord, we can't get to Him anyway unless He brings us there. And He's faithful to do it. That's why He invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain His mercy in our time of need. He giveth more grace. He is the way of holiness. That's what he says. My ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah tells us earlier in 35:8, he says, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. The unclean. Well, here's good news. We're washed in His blood. We're washed in the water of His sanctification. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the pilgrims, the strangers on this earth, though they're fools, though they're foolish, though they don't trust Him, though they do wander away from the fold and the flock and wander away from Him, though they're fools, they shall not err therein. There's no error in Christ. We're perfect and complete in Christ Jesus. And perfectly in line with His will. And His will for His church. And His will for all of His people in His church. That's how we get there. We get there in the vehicle of faith. The gift of faith to lay hold of Christ. To see Him reigning. To see His goodness. And what He did for our dear brother. That's where He brings us. To say, Lord, Thy will be done. And how perfect and holy is Your ways. And they're way past finding out. For as the, look at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall, this is an analogy, he's saying, just as that snow and that rain comes down and it doesn't come back, it goes and waters the earth and brings forth the fruit and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. That's what he taught. That's what he revealed to Isaiah. All of that that he said, this is grace. This is faith. This is mercy. This is forgiveness. That's my word. And it will not, look at this, it will not return unto me void. And that faithful pastors that he raises up will preach Christ crucified. Just as our brother did. But it shall accomplish that which I please, what He pleases. And that's to bring glory to the triune God. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And don't miss that last phrase. I sent it. He directs His word. He directs His grace. He directs all the gifts. He does. And He's the faithful one to do it. That's what He's telling us. His ways are not our ways. See, we judge the Lord sometimes based on our tiredness or our inability. You know, it's like we can't love the way the Lord loves. Constantly, never-ending love. Well, not us. We get upset. And we lash out. And then when we're being chastened, we start to look at the Lord that way. And start thinking evil thoughts like, I'm not God's child. Why would He do it this way? Or, but it's love. Because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. For ye shall go out with joy. Praise God. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, dear ones. That's that fruit the Song of Solomon passes. We taste of His fruit. He gives us joy to rejoice in what the Lord has done. and be led forth with peace. What is peace? Fruit of the Spirit. Gift of Christ. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And you know what I just described to you? The transforming grace that's in Christ Jesus. He transforms the child of God into His image. He makes all things new. I'd like to leave this tonight by reading Romans 8:28 again. And we know. Do we know? Well, we do by grace. We do by His revelation. We do by His great mercy to condescend to open up in our knowledge and give us the knowledge of Him. That's how we know. Paul says we do know. And I can stand with Paul and I say, yes, I do know that all things, that's what grace has taught me, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. That's what grace teaches us. Because His ways and thoughts are higher than ours. Grace teaches us and gives us the knowledge of Christ and what pleases Him, what pleases the Father, what pleases the Holy Ghost. Them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose of love and His purpose of grace. His thoughts toward us are not evil. Oh, their love and their grace. And He will always bring us to that expected end. And that expected end is your spirit longing for Christ. And that expected end is being filled with Christ Jesus. Praise God that our brother sees Him face to face. May His mercy be with his family and the brethren tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, add Thy clarity, Lord, and Thy comfort and Thy word to Thy people tonight. Give us the eye of faith to see, Lord, to see You reigning. Lord, give us praise upon our lips for great things You have done. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.